Okay.
All right.
So.
You recording?
Yeah. I've been recording for a while.
he's going to edit it, so. Return to sender.
All right, so welcome to Stamps Show here today. This is our pilot podcast. We're going to do some introductions really quick. I'm Jessica.
I'm Cash.
Tom.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Jeff.
And we're here to brighten your day with some talking about some stamps. So we're going to start with postage stamps.
how about if we talk about why we named the podcast?
Oh, that's right.
why did we name it Stamp Show here today?
It's the sign that we see at our local stamp show that happens down the street. What's the name of it?
Quality Stamp Shows.
That's right, Quality Stamp Shows.
With Steve Pitello. May as well give him a plug.
There we go.
Why not?
So, this is Stamp Show here today.
There we go.
So, we're going to talk about postage stamps.
Well, actually, why don't we introduce ourselves so that, you know, everybody knows actually what we do and what we collect and stuff like that, so that...
Okay, Kaz, you start.
Okay. Well, my name's Kaz, and I collect stamps from 1851 to 1859. I am intrigued by the Industrial Revolution, so I collect all stamps and postal histories from that period.
Is that just U.S. stamps or worldwide stamps?
Mostly U.S., but I do collect some other worldwide.
Cool.
This is Tom. I collect mostly back-of-the-book stuff right now in U.S., airmail, special deliveries, a few other little odds and ends. Started picking up some Ireland stamps. I just like the older look of the Ireland. Kind of some cool stuff.
Sweet. I'm Scott, and I collect classic U.S. all the way up through modern U.S., and I pretty much like everything U.S., especially the weird stuff, the stuff that's not in the catalog. And I also collect Ireland.
All right, I'm Jeff. I collect a lot of classic U.S. I'm working on it. I love the designs on some of the classic stuff, some of the older early airmails as well. I do a little bit in Ireland, a little bit of World War II era Germany, few topicals here and there, trains, couple other things. Anything else that catches my eye?
I'm Jessica. I'm one of the few people that collects topicals in the group. I do American Indians, Puerto Rico, anything with Puerto Rico on, I'm game. Also, anything that looks pretty. I guess it's a girl thing.
Well, you're allowed. We'll let you.
I like the pretty ones. And we're getting together today to answer some questions that we found on answers.com. In the future, you can submit your own questions. We'll work on that.
Why don't you give them an email address so that,
or a Facebook?
Okay. You can ask any questions you want on our Facebook. It's Professional Stamp Experts at Facebook, on the Facebook site. We also have a Twitter. PSE Inc. is our handle for Twitter. Any questions you have, you can post there, or you can email me at Jessica, J-E-S-S-I-C-A, at gradingmatters.com. So the first one is, are there any 25-cent U.S. postage stamps that are collectible? Is that the question?
I found that online, and I thought it was just esoteric enough to talk about for a couple minutes.
Well, yeah, they're all collectible, but I think the real question you're asking is, are they valuable?
Yeah.
You can't say, are they worth it? Well, I mean, if you enjoy collecting them, then they're worth it. But are they valuable? In that kind of sense, defining valuable as worth a lot of money, probably not. Because they are still fairly common. But you collect what you like. And there are so many different choices to collect. If you can't find something that you like, then... I actually don't think you would have a problem finding something. You should. No big deal.
Well, as long as you use them for postage, they're worth a quarter.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, but when you say common, what are you talking about? I mean, what's a common stamp versus an uncommon stamp?
Well, a common stamp is generally one that's not going to break your bank if you tried to buy one.
A common stamp is one that the dealers still use for postage.
Yeah.
That's a common stamp.
That would definitely be a common stamp. There are a lot of stamps that dealers wouldn't use for postage that are still common, but they have a little bit more value, and generally that's because they have age.
Yeah, I think one of the things is there demand for the stamp? Because what's the value of the Marilyn Monroe stamp?
I believe that's 32 cents.
Yeah, I thought it was 29.
I think it's 29.
29, 32, one or the other. You don't see that in postage lots very often.
No. What's the Elvis stamp?
Oh, Elvis stamp is 29.
It's 29.
Mm-hmm. Elvis stamp is 29. Marilyn Monroe is 32. You're right.
Okay, so the next question is, what is the problem with early Mexico stamps, if there is one?
Well, that's a can of worms. First of all, I don't think anybody here collects Mexico.
I used to, and I got
depth. But, I mean, one of the problems is very few people in the classic era could read or write. So not a lot of stamps got used from most post offices. And second, a lot of the stuff can be forged.
It is forged.
That can definitely affect the value. If you have a stamp that's frequently faked or forged, that's going to drag down the value or the current price for a genuine stamp because most people don't know, so they're not willing to pay a premium for a stamp that is likely to be forged.
Well, my favorite story is with Roman States, which is sort of like Mexico. And the first issue of Roman States was
on a different continent.
There, yeah, well.
It's just like Mexico.
Yeah, well, they travel. Anyway, the first issue was never counterfeited, but the second, third issue were extensively counterfeited. So everybody hates Roman State stamps, including the first issue, which was never counterfeited, but it's still really low priced because the demand for the whole area was just destroyed by the counterfeiters.
Well, that's like U.S. coils.
Yeah.
The Perf 12 and 8.5 and the early 10s, all the flat plate coils. They've been extensively counterfeited, which drags down the overall catalog values. But if you want to ensure that you get a genuine copy, you buy a certified copy. And you're going to pay a lot more for it. Those prices are strong, but if you're just going to take a chance, then
I like your example better.
You should assume it's going to be fake.
Yeah. Early Mexico is like U.S. flat plate coils.
Yeah, in the market.
In the market.
Yeah.
Hawaiian numerals.
Yeah, there's another one.
There's another one, yeah. So there is value in that.
Okay, the next question that I'm actually very interested in, are there more revenue stamps than regular stamps?
Very much so.
Yeah, I would say that if there isn't, it's pretty damn close.
Oh, no. I think there are thousands more.
Oh.
I mean, just in U.S., if you're going to include state and federal revenue stamps,
yeah.
Tax-paid stamps and all this other stuff that you can find, far outnumbers the number of postage stamps we have.
Well, the first stamps were tax stamps. They were not postage stamps.
That's true.
I mean, when they dropped the T into Boston Harbor, that was the Stamp Act.
Yeah, and it was a revenue stamp. Those were revenue stamps, and they were actually embossed into documents.
Yep.
And that's what the colonists were protesting. Yeah, payment of revenue taxes.
My favorite story there is that they taxed paper, which pissed off all the lawyers, which was exactly the group that you probably didn't want to piss off.
Yeah, lawyers love paper.
Yeah.
Come on.
Weren't those the guys that were getting paid by the word, though, and everything that they wrote out?
Oh, well, another one was the newspapers. Newspapers had to pay taxes, too. And so now you have lawyers who don't like it and newspapers who don't like it. I don't know what the government was expecting.
Well, they weren't expecting the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, there you go.
So another question is, what areas are good to collect in stamps?
The best area to collect, in my opinion, is one that interests you. If it interests you because of maybe it's a subject you like, maybe it's your ancestry, maybe it's the color of the stamps, the images on the stamps, maybe it's someplace you want to travel someday. Whatever interests you is what you collect. And never let anybody tell you, oh, you shouldn't collect that. Because it's not their collection, it's your collection.
Yeah, and another point there might be that you have people who collect, then you have people who accumulate, people who invest.
Well, you've seen the show Hoarders.
Yeah, the Hoarders.
There
yeah.
are people like that.
Yeah, some hoarder out there who collects bird nests and newspapers.
Sure, make me wear the dunce hat.
Hey, I didn't say anything.
You're well on your way.
Yeah.
Also, where do they find a good dealer to find the material if they do collect?
I like stamp shows. You know, eBay is great. There, you know, there's so many places now to buy stamps. You know, it's not like in the old days where you had to have, you know, there was a corner stamp shop and that was it. Except for maybe some approval service that sent you some, you know, CTO stamps from Russia for 50 cents. You know, I think that there's so many places now to collect that it really isn't even a question of where you find stamps now.
Yeah, the internet has brought a whole new realm to stamp collecting. It's so much more accessible.
Oh, well, we wouldn't be talking right now if it wasn't for the internet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're looking to buy or trade stamps or other people that are into stamps, there's a couple of good resources that I can think of. You have the APS, the American Philatelic Society, and they have a list of dealers, no matter where you live in the country and a lot of times overseas. They have dealer members, and they can help you find a dealer that's local to you, or you can try the ASDA or the NSDA, the American Stamp Dealer Association, or the National Stamp Dealer Association. They both maintain lists of dealers that belong to those organizations that might be in your area that you can contact either to buy or to sell.
We should email them for the commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, there you
see
go.
See if they'll send us a microphone stand. We have a microphone sitting in a box right now. Anybody out there who wants to donate a microphone stand will give you a plug.
They also know what's the best way to invest in stamps.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, stamp investing has always been a kind of a iffy subject.
Yeah.
Although Bill Gross has done very, very well.
Yep. It's probably the same as everything else. Go for quality.
Yes.
Always go for quality.
Yes.
A damaged stamp will not appreciate nearly as much as a good stamp. With one exception.
I had heard... a unique stamp.
Yeah, what's a magenta?
I had heard a story about Bill Gross when he started to collect. He did not buy a stamp for the first 3 years that he called himself a stamp collector. All he did was research what was the best out there. And that's how he chose his first collecting area. Is he wanted to go for the best. He wanted to go for the quality, the stuff that he analyzed what the prices of different stamps were over time and what stamps had maintained their value or gone up, and those are the ones that he wanted to buy into. And when he started collecting stamps, now he collects a lot of stuff, but when he started, that's where he started. and it took him 3 years before he bought his first stamp.
Well, there was also a quote out of the AP, and it was from the 1890s.
What's the AP?
The APS magazine, isn't that the,
yeah.
called okay. the AP? And it basically said if you have a quarter to spend, you should spend it on one 25-cent stamp, not 25 one-cent stamps. And, you know, you look at the old Scott catalogs, and that 25-cent stamp in the 1890s is now a $500 stamp, and the one-cent stamps are now 30-cent stamps. So
some of them are, yes.
Yeah, well, it's the scarcity is disproportionate in the return is disproportionate based on scarcity. So a stamp that's half as scarce does not increase twice as much, it increases five times as much. So if you're out there, and also if you're out there trying to invest in stamps, you know, good luck. And we wish you all the luck in the world.
It's like with any collection, you don't really, some of them you don't really collect because you're looking for the money later. It's just something you enjoy and you can talk to other people about and they understand. Well, someone else understands what you're doing or why you're doing it. When I tell my family, oh, you know, I'm starting to collect stamps, they're like, and what is that? When you go to stamp shows, you meet people that are like, oh, you collect stamps? I collect stamps too. What do you collect? Oh, wow. And you guys can just exchange
ideas. I think pretty much most people who collect stamps collect it because they enjoy it for one reason or another. And the investment or the potential investment value of stamps at the end is a bonus. It's not, I mean, you collect stamps for 10 years and then you decide you don't want to collect stamps anymore. You get a little bit of money out of it. If you fly model airplanes for 10 years and then you decide you don't want to do that anymore, you sell your model airplanes and your radio controllers and you get a little bit of money back. It's the same kind of thing. If you're going to, stamps as an investment is probably not the best idea, but there is residual value there. Because when you're done enjoying it, then you can sell it back into the market and somebody else can enjoy it for however long they want to enjoy it.
Well, they were commenting on the 1 cent magenta that just sold for $9.5 million. And they calculated out the rate of return. And the rate of return was like less than 4%. So the people were saying, oh, yeah, you know, he made a bunch of money and stuff like that. But realistically, you kind of would have made more. You definitely would have made more with gold. And you probably would have made more with stocks.
Well, I think in that particular case, you have to consider what the rest of his collection sold for.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that one stamp caused the rest of his collection to go for eight times what it probably would have otherwise gone for.
Not to mention,
and he didn't make money on the one stamp. He made money on everything else.
Yeah.
Now, of course, he's dead, so he doesn't really know about it. So, I mean, what does that really matter?
Yeah, he's looking down going, man, I got a lot of, well, never mind.
I should have sold earlier.
Yeah. Plus, we have to mention that stamp was heavily damaged.
Yes, it was.
The most popular stamp, or the most famous stamp in the world, is the most damaged stamp in the world.
Well, I don't know about that. I've seen some that are pretty rough.
Oh, yeah.
But for that value, for that amount of money, that stamp was pretty rough.
Yeah.
I will definitely agree with that.
All right, so the next question is, how do I start my collection?
Buy your first stamp.
There we go.
No, you got to find stuff that you're interested in first. You know, it took me a long time before I started actually collecting some of the airmails that I first got.
Yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah, true.
he hung around with me too long and ended up collecting stamps. But it just goes to show that you look at stuff and eventually you find something that interests you, whether it's history or an object or a time period or a country, or it could be anything. And that's one of the best things about stamp collecting, is there's no wrong way to collect stamps. Well, I take that back. The only wrong way is not to collect stamps.
Well, if you choose to collect stamps and like not use stamp tongs, or lick and stick them into your album or something like that, that might be considered the wrong way to collect stamps.
Maybe
the wrong way to store stamps.
maybe by other stamp collectors. But if that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do.
But there goes your residual value.
Yeah,
that would reduce
your residual. You definitely would not be an investor.
That is true.
For me, it's we were at a stamp show and it's Orco Expo back in January, and my wife brought my 5-year-old daughter to the show, and she saw this for a few minutes. And, "Mommy, I want to buy fish stamps." and now I've got a 5-year-old that has reptiles and amphibians and dinosaurs and fish and whales, and she's just it's the stuff she likes. She's 5 years old. She likes animals. She loves dinosaurs, and she collects all that stuff now.
And who has the bigger stamp collection?
Probably her, because she spent all my money at the show.
She even has her own pair of tongs.
Well, you got it. Teacher right from the start. You handle things with respect, and the residual value is there.
Just imagine how much that fish stamp will be worth in 50 years.
It's probably a 25-cent stamp. It'll probably be worth 25 cents.
What if the fish goes extinct? I mean, there's always that possibility.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Bank on the extinction factor. There you go. Let's go back on to what should you collect. We'll collect things that are going to go extinct.
Hey, why not? It's an endangered... People collect endangered species.
Yeah, we can edit that out.
Yeah, and just for that comment, you probably won't.
So the next one is, should I join a stamp club?
Ooh, yes. I think so. Stamp collecting is a very social hobby, and it can also be a very solitary hobby. I mean, you have your stamps at home. You can shut out the world, listen to music or not. You do whatever. But it enhances the experience so much more when you can talk to somebody else about your stamps. When they have an appreciation for... Even if they don't collect what you collect, there can be an appreciation for your presentation, your whatever, just how the stamps look. And it's something that, another stamp collector is going to understand, but somebody who doesn't collect stamps may not. And who knows, if you join a stamp club, you may find somebody who collects the same thing as you. If you collect, purple dots on stamps... Who knows? You might find a guy or another girl at a stamp club who collects green dots on stamps.
Well, that's a great way to exchange, I have extra of these. Can we trade? Stamp shows, you have to buy everything for the most part.
I bought this selection of purple dots on stamps, and I got 3 stamps with green dots. What do I do with them? I trade them to the person who collects green dots on stamps.
I like the clubs, not from necessarily that standpoint, but more like the Classic Society, which, you're a member of a club, but you may not even ever see the people because they're scattered all over the country. But every so often you get together and you go to a stamp show or something, and the Classic Society will have a meeting or a group.
Well, another thing is a more specialized society like that, as you learn about your stamps... If you have a question, a lot of times you can get in touch with another member through the club either by email or snail mail or telephone or whatever, texting. And you can ask a question, and you know, even if they don't know the answer, they might know somebody who does.
Yep.
And so that's also a really good reason to join a club or a society, is that when you have questions, they have answers. Well, that concludes another edition of Stamp Show here today. And we look forward to the next roundtable discussion here.
Your questions, comments?
Snide remarks.
Any good jokes? Kaz loves good jokes.
He loves bad jokes more. Yeah.
Send them all to Jessica. Kaz doesn't have a filter. Jessica can.
Jessica, oh, yeah, you send it to me. I'll read them verbatim, and then we'll take back. No such song. We had a quarrel, a lover's spat.